Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 98. I'm your host, Ben Heck.
I'm Jason Jones.
And I am Parker Dillman.
That's right, we brought Parker back again.
Back in the habit, not from just the like grave, Whoopi Goldberg.
I guess it's better than Theodore Rex. Yeah, it's like, hey, let's have Whoopi Goldberg be a cop and she teams up with a dinosaur. That's a good movie plot.
Oh, I completely forgot about that movie. That was a repressed memory, guys.
You've been triggered. So what are our topics going to be in this episode, guys?
So Jones wanted just to shoot from the hip, so that's what we're going to do.
Okay, then.
I'm just going to lay that on the floor. So if it ends up being bad, we've already drugged Jones under the bus.
Well, yeah, we should just see how off topic we can go in 1 hour's time.
Well, the thing is, typically, you know, we come up with like these horseshit topics, and then we end up like going off the rails half the time, anyways. So you want to start
off the rails?
Might as well. Okay. Why even go on the rail in the first place?
So, Jones, do you even remember what the Cider House rules were in Cider House Rules?
I think they were all about Charlize Theron's perfect ass.
Ah.
And how wonderful it is.
Don't spill the cider
on her perfect ass? That sounds right. No harm shall come to her ass.
Oh no, Spider-Man spilled cider on my ass.
Yeah, I can't remember what the Cider House rules were because, yeah, it was like an orphanage and Tobey Maguire was like an aspiring like abortion doctor or something. Right. And
there was a list of rules. There's a sheet that they put up inside the Cider House.
So I've never seen this movie, so I immediately went to go Google it.
It's actually not a bad flick, but yeah, it has a wonderful Charlize Theron moment in it. So,
Charlize Theron was the Eva Green of her day.
Yeah, she kind of was, because, yeah, she would get naked in about every damn movie for a while, which, I mean, no complaints.
She's like, what was it, Quiet in Metal Gear? It's like, Snake! She's allergic to clothes! Nanoparticles!
A hind E?
Yeah, that's right, the Cider House rules, because, yeah, there was the, there was, like, the orchard there, and there were people picking apples.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where Charlize's ass was.
Right,
was
that one of those places? Yeah. To make cider.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Maybe it was like there was a cider house and it was like really good. So it's like, Cider House, it rules!
Or they were just like, here's how you make the really good shit. Here's the 10 rules to making good cider.
So it's kind of like the 10 rules for dating someone's teenage daughter?
Well, why does it have to be 10 rules?
I think so. Because that's just how it is. It's like commandments. You can't have like...
I was about to say, it's like... The
you can't have like seven commandments. It just doesn't sound right.
The farmer walked out into the orchard. Lightning struck him, and he had two tablets, and he carried them out.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
that could be like the Cider House Rules Begins.
Yeah, I was about to say the origin story for that movie.
Cider House Rules Begins. Yeah. Cider House Rules Begins: colon origins.
Well, hey, it's got Michael Caine in it, so...
Oh, no, I got it. The Cider House Rules, the core story.
You know, I was looking on IMDb the other day because I had no idea exactly how many Resident Evil movies had been made. How many do you guys think have been made? How many exist?
My guess is 6.
Parker, what's your guess?
12.
It's actually, Jones is right, it was 6.
Wow. I think I've seen maybe half of them.
I think the problem is I've seen all of them twice, but I don't remember the first time I watched them.
Ugh, that sounds awful. I've only seen the first 2.
I think we watched one for Shitty Movie Night, didn't we?
We watched number 2.
And it didn't end up being, like, that shitty. It was just kind of okay.
I mean, I thought the first Resident Evil was...
It was fine.
A movie. Yeah.
Nothing I need to revisit. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was... They're
like Mila Jovovich certainly... like shooting things, so you know, I guess that's fine. Luke Besson would have been happy worse... at one time.
There's certainly worse video game based movies.
So what's the, I guess that's a good topic. Shit. What's the worst video game movies y'all seen?
Oh yeah. Oh, Super
I think
Mario
we've
Brothers.
Covered that ground with Super Mario Brothers, haven't we?
Super Mario Brothers gave
probably
me
haven't
cancer.
Flogged that movie in like three episodes though. So
I would say, yeah, that is a bad movie, and it's a bad movie about Super Mario Brothers. I bet you if they just called it something else, it actually wouldn't have been too bad.
No. When did you last see this thing?
I think I watched it about 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't think it was that bad.
So, back in the day, myself, Jones, Jones's ex-wife, and Dale, we would always do shitty movie night. We did like every other week, remember? For like
yeah,
years.
We were pretty damn consistent somehow.
And super, well, the... Super Mario was one of the worst. That and what was it, Alone in the Dark and Son of the Mask were probably the three worst we ever watched.
And we watched Alone in the Dark and Son of the Mask the same night, too. We all pretty much wanted to be euthanized that night.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
It was not good. And definitely not for sharing.
I would personally say, I think the Street Fighter movie, in my opinion, is actually worse than the Super Mario movie.
Oh, I really? I thought Street Fighter was a really entertaining bad movie.
It has some quality, like, cheesy moments in it. You know, and it's got Raul Julia.
And that fist comes out of the rubble at the end.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that part.
Mario Brothers, the way I've explained it to people is I'm like, imagine if the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie had been done completely wrong. That's Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
About the only thing it has with Super Mario Brothers is that it's got, like, two plumber brothers. I mean, even Koopa's, like, horse shit in it.
Yeah, it's because it's Dennis Hopper, right? And he's...
Yeah. He's, like, well, some sort of, like, humanoid something. I don't know.
Well, right? Well, remember, the first 10 seconds of that movie, the plot is...
I tried to, like... You know, erase that part of my brain.
it's like, what if the meteorite that hit Earth and destroyed the dinosaurs didn't, and instead it created an alternate reality? I mean, somehow asteroids can create alternate realities. There's an alternate dimension where the dinosaurs did. Well, I guess that's the Pixar's The Good Dinosaur, then, right? I mean, this was like the predecessor to that movie.
I haven't seen that.
I've heard it's not so good.
Mm.
Well, because clearly it was based off Super Mario Brothers, the movie, so it has no chance.
They're like, we're Pixar. We can make that shit good.
And so here's what I want to know. So I saw the Switch press conference, and apparently Mario's hat is alive.
Yeah, it's got eyeballs in it. You know, actually, that's not the first time Nintendo's done this either. There was a...
The first time they put eyeballs on something?
No, that the cap was alive, or hat was alive. There was a Zelda game that the Finnish cap? Minish cap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, or if it's Jewish, it would be the Yiddish cap. No?
Okay. No.
Was it like a wannabe sorting hat or something?
Yeah, actually, the one in Zelda is kind of like that. It has a... Well, I guess it's shaped more like the sorting hat.
Okay.
So does Link and Zelda ever get it on? That's what I want to know. I mean, I haven't played the games in like 20 years.
Yeah, he spends all this time rescuing that goddamn princess. You'd think
right.
at some point.
What does he get out of it? Like tax credits or something? Like,
he can't just be a good guy. No carbon credits for him.
Well, see, the thing is, you know... If he rescued the princess and didn't immediately get in there, he would be in the friend zone. That's kind of the problem. So maybe that's the thing. He keeps trying to get... He's like, oh, I'm going to go save you again, but he's eternally in the friend zone. He's kind of like that guy on Game of Thrones that's turning into a rock man.
The last couple...
Sir Jorah. Yeah.
And he's in the Resident Evil movies. Shared universe confirmed.
So is that the problem? Because like he's always there for her, so she just he'll always be there. So you know, like how the Jorah guy in Game of Thrones, you know, like she doesn't, you know, he never surprises her, you know, so she doesn't have to work for his affection.
Well, I think the difference in ages between Link and Zelda are probably not as vast as that guy.
No.
Although if that guy was like a record producer, he could be with Emilia Clarke. It's like, doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah,
or if you're like the president or something, doesn't matter.
So at least in the recent Zelda games, they are usually childhood friends, and then one of them either becomes, you know, accidentally becomes Zelda or some event happens, basically. So it's not
accidentally becomes Zelda.
No, it's actually how a couple of them are. So,
wow, I don't even know how to process that.
I'm good. So that reminds me of the conversation we had about if being a Jedi was an STD.
Hmm.
Right.
Well, it is midichlorians, maybe
he's got the Jed.
Maybe, since it's midichlorians, you know, it's in your bloodstream or something, right? So maybe it can be transmitted sexually.
But then, if you clear up your Jedi STD, just like Magic Johnson did, then you will be the last Jedi. Which is completely different from Transformers, The Last Knight.
Oh, those both come out this year.
Are they even, like, trying with these Star Wars titles?
Here's the thing. Phantom Menace. Okay.
Yes.
Phantom Menace kind of sounds stupid, but it's actually the most pulpiest 1930s title you could possibly give something. So in that aspect, that title really succeeds.
Yeah.
I say this because when I was a kid, I used to read a lot of like Doc Savage and Shadow type novels. And it was always like, Menace, Phantom, but they always use those kind of terms, so this is the Phantom Menace. So here's the thing. Did you get that email I sent you about Jar Jar Binks as Liam Neeson?
Probably not, because I didn't get into my email, but I will seek such an email out, I guess.
So there's this YouTube channel where he goes around trying to find the unsung heroes of the Star Wars universe, and then he like asks some interesting questions. So he talked to, was it Ahmad Best? Was Jar Jar?
Yeah, Ahmad Best. Yep.
Yeah. So he talks to him. Awesome. Anyway, then at the end, the guy does a Jar Jar Binks impression of Liam Neeson from Taken.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See, deep down, everybody knows they really love Jar Jar.
I want Jar Jar to come back.
They just can't bring themselves to admit it.
Okay, so picture this. Okay, so like,
what if
Rey...
he's the last Jedi? Jar Jar.
He's awesome.
So, oh no, you know what it is? It won't be Rey. It'll be Poe Dameron, and so it'll be Ex Machina and Attack of the Block. And they'll be attacked by stormtroopers. And then this hooded figure comes in with like a laser staff and he beats everyone up. Right? And then he lifts up the hood and it's Jar Jar. And he's like a badass now.
He's like, Misa back.
And then he says that and then takes a cigarette out and goes.
And he has like lightsabers held in each ear and, and in his hands. He just like annihilates everything. Tell me that wouldn't be like the most badass fucking thing in the history of Star Wars if that happened.
I think if that happened, 99% of the people would actually walk out of the theater.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I'm one of the 1% of people who didn't like Rogue One, so I actually would like to see something that batshit crazy happen in Star Wars.
I don't know. I think there's more than 1%, Ben.
Yeah.
Most people I've talked to, they're pretty kind of like, about it. Like with Rogue One, I was kind of surprised, but yeah, I liked it quite a bit. But most people seem to just kind of be like, it was all right. That's the general
yeah,
population
I didn't
response I've gathered. So
I didn't fall asleep during it.
Well, that's something.
That's got something going for it then.
Yeah.
It wasn't a sleeping pill. Okay, well.
I watch a lot of movies on planes, so my standards aren't really that high, unless it's Sucker Punch. I mean, that movie was so, I watched that on a plane. It was so boring, I wanted to walk out. Ba-dum-ching!
Is that the one with the CG?
Basically,
yeah, it's CG one with the chicks in leather that shoot guns.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's basically like sounds great. Five music videos, like,
yeah,
loosely
really like
stitched together.
So, I actually really enjoyed watching that movie.
Oh, well.
It's definitely something. There's parts of it that I enjoyed, but it's, yeah, well, it's just like somebody had ideas for a bunch of music videos, and then they tried to, like, hatch some sort of half-assed plot to tie them together.
That's exactly what it is. So that's what you just take that as, is you just go, you don't really care about the glue logic that's in between them all.
Oh, Jones, that reminds me. Since you talked about movies that are music videos,
yes.
I was thinking about another movie night idea.
Okay.
It was secretly homoerotic movie night from the 80s.
Oh, Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Well, Top Gun's not really secret, though, is it? It's pretty blatant about it, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And, well, we've already done Roadhouse a couple times, so I don't know if we need that one. But
Oh, yeah, with the I used to fuck guys like you in prison line.
I've always wanted to try you, Dalton.
Oh, God. What a movie.
Roadhouse is such a great film. Oh, so now that Ronda Rousey got beaten up again, does that mean the Roadhouse remake is dead?
I bet it does.
Good.
Star seems to have fallen quite a bit. Maybe there's still a chance for Charlize to sneak in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I wouldn't be against a remake of... Well, no... It should be a sequel, not a remake. Yes. And you have her be Dalton's daughter. It's so easy. Although she's technically too old to be there. Oh no, she could be his daughter from another person. So she's not the daughter of him and the doctor lady. She's like from his first marriage or something, like when he was in college for philosophy.
She could be Sam Elliott's daughter.
Yeah. Sam Elliott.
I guess then it wouldn't be the Dalton connection then, but
yeah, she's Wade Garrett's daughter. They say she ripped a man's balls off in Texas.
Hate when that happens.
Oh, speaking of remakes, Ben tweeted a very controversial thing earlier this week.
Oh my goodness.
What was that?
Let me see if I can find it. You wanted to remake some movie.
Oh, Back to the Future. Definitely.
Well, that's a long held thing. It actually is one of the more sensible remakes to make.
I've got the perfect line from you. You go back to 1980s. Tell me something, future boy. Who's president of the United States in 2017? Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the real estate tycoon. I suppose Bernie Madoff is Secretary of the Treasury. Look, it writes itself. Here's the thing. Back to the Future is a movie about time. And the passage of time has made the themes in Back to the Future more relevant than they were. Like, okay, imagine a teenager from 1985, right? And a teenager from 1955. They both go to school. They have phones in their house. They read newspapers and they have to watch TV. I mean, it wasn't really that much different. Now, think about a teenager today versus 1985. It'd be a completely different world. They wouldn't know how to react. It'd be a much better fish out of water story, and that would allow you to actually do character development for the main character, which Back to the Future didn't have.
Oh, they could go to a library.
Yeah, because there'd be no internet or anything. Like Ben says, a kid today, like a high schooler today, they probably wouldn't even know how to function in 1985.
They wouldn't know what the Dewey Decimal System is.
So you could have...
Exactly. They wouldn't know how to do fucking math. They wouldn't be able to, look anything up. Probably wouldn't even know what a library is. You know?
So let's say you're Marty character, and who knows, maybe it's a woman. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Again, you wouldn't start them off with a girlfriend, you know? Like,
why?
Well, hold on. They'd be like, there's someone at school they have a crush on, right? And they would keep going on their Facebook wall and, like, leaving the messages and being ignored in the beginning. And then the person goes back in time and learns how to do, you know, be more sociable. Then they come back to the future and they walk right up to the person and ask them out. So like you could develop it and say, hey, look, you don't need to. Technology is keeping us apart, not bringing us together. You could tell that message with it as well. Telling you, it would make more sense than most remakes nowadays.
I would agree it makes more sense than most remakes, but I think most remakes shouldn't never happen. So,
okay, so I just checked. Patrick Swayze is 1 year younger than my mom, and I am the same age as Charlize Theron, which means
it's possible.
It's definitely possible. Okay, so now that we checked that out.
And plus, it's not like Charlize couldn't pass for somebody a bit younger than what she actually is.
Doesn't look like you got hit in the face too much.
But and does that movie idea, Ben, it doesn't have to be called Back to the Future. They could just, you know, make a new name.
Yeah. Or it could just be called Back to the Future.
Maybe called Time Boy.
Time Boy? That's a terrible name.
Nobody wants that.
Oh, and I don't know. I think it would work. So, like, Doc Brown could be like some sort of maker. Of course, now if you made it, people would just think it's a Rick and Morty ripoff. Ironically.
But, oh, yeah, you would.
I think it could work that and Logan's Run. Logan's Run needs to be remade.
I would agree on Logan's Run, though. So.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
Talked about that one forever, too, and haven't gotten
like,
off the ground.
3 billion people have been born since that movie came out.
Yeah, wasn't it like Bryan Singer or somebody was trying to get that made for like years? There was somebody who was attached to that for a long time. They just couldn't get it going.
And it's probably because there's no money in that remake.
Well, they'll remake every other goddamn thing on Earth.
Pretty much.
Only if it has a nostalgia base that will spend money.
Yeah, Logan's Run's probably a little bit too old. Let's see here. I'm just checking the vital statistics. Let's see.
Making sure all these people are proper ages.
There's 3.2 billion more people on Earth than when Logan's Run came out. That's nearly double.
Yep.
Yeah, that could. So Logan's Run remake, it would be 40 instead of 30. You know, so you could cast like Matt Damon or something, and there would be more explosions.
You could cast Elysium.
Yeah, and you would kind of do it like
Logan's Run, directed by Michael Bay.
It would be like in the near future, and you'd start it off slow. You'd be like Social Security credits given for voluntary euthanasia or something. You know, you'd have like the headlines, and then you'd have like starvation, you know, hits and like global warming and, you know, people, carbon dioxide and stuff. And then you kind of show how it starts off with like, oh shit, you know, you got to thin down the population. Then it comes to drastic measures where you have, everyone has to die at 40 or 30 or whatever. It would be 40 nowadays.
I don't think politicians would ever pass that law because they would all die immediately.
Well, they'd be exempt, of course, you know, because...
Oh, yeah. So you have to be in the... Oh, that could be interesting development.
Oh, yeah, there could be an elite class where you get to pass 40.
Yeah. Whereas if you have to pay your Earth tax or Earth credits.
Wasn't there some... What was that movie with Justin Timberlake and Mamma Mia?
Yeah.
About Time?
About Time was a different movie with fucking Domhnall Gleeson and Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Yes, the movie you're talking about, it was kind of like basically people could sell time, their time to other people.
Oh.
Like time was kind of like a currency almost.
I thought that was a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, they probably stole it from that.
Yeah. Most everything was.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it was something like was Time was in the title.
Yeah, I can't remember what. I never saw it, but from what I heard, it's supposed to be you know, not too bad, but
number one movie that should be remade. Okay. All right, this is a better remake idea than Back to the Future, is The Rocketeer.
Okay, so who would be Jennifer Connelly's chest in this movie?
No one.
Just the chest.
Well, it was the, primary, whatever, primary actress, lead role in the film. So
lead role.
Christina Hendricks could be Jennifer Connelly.
She's too old, though.
You age, sis. You're like Logan's Run.
I'm just being a realist, that's all. I don't really know who any like young, like up and coming actresses are. There probably aren't any.
Oh, speaking of age, sis. So Amy Adams, basically she won't get an Oscar now until she's over 50, I suppose.
Ugh. Did she get nominated?
I don't think she did.
I know Arrival got like 8 nominations, but maybe she didn't get one of them.
Yeah, there was a film theory, and it's interesting. Like women either get an Oscar before 30 or like after 50, and men only get it like after 40, which is why Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get one until like last year.
Yeah, it's kind of like, accurate, actually.
It's like 80% accurate, actually, I guess. Yeah. Which is why I'm pretty sure they'll probably give it to Emma Stone.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's like you could make Oscar bingo and just put, everything would be La La Land. Once you realize how the Oscars work, it's like watching a football game against the Patriots. There's no suspense.
Unless they're playing the Giants. Then they lose. So yeah, it's I mean, Emma Stone too, like, to be fair, she's kind of built up a little bit of Academy cred over the years. Like, she was in Birdman and stuff like that. You know, it's not like she fell out of the sky or anything, so...
And Zombieland.
Yeah. She was in I remember the first thing I saw her in was Superbad, and she was, like, really good in that, and it was kind of like, oh, who is this? And then she started popping up in more and more stuff, and she was in, what the hell, the Amazing Spider-Man movies, right?
Yes, she was, as Gwen Stacy.
Yes. So, Amy Adams, well, she's still my favorite. She'll always get my vote. Fuck all these other assholes.
But she's pretty lucky, though. She's over 40, and she's not having to play witches yet.
Yeah, she seems like she's managed to kind of keep getting interesting roles all the time. Maybe it's because she didn't really take any big breaks to have kids along the way. Like, I think she did have a kid, but, some of these people, like Gwyneth Paltrow, they have a kid, and they're like, well, I'm going to take, like, a few years off, and it's like, well, say goodbye to your career.
Yeah, but Gwyneth Paltrow was a much bigger actress before that than Amy Adams was.
Yeah, I mean, she got, she had her best actress way back when she was in her 20s, so.
Gee! What a shot.
A pattern.
Yep. Wasn't Batman in that movie? Oh, yeah, he was. You remember?
Which one?
Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, and now he's no longer directing the Batman.
Yeah, so what does that mean? Because, he plays Batman, and now he's not directing it. Is that just... He wants to direct something else, or did they say it was, creative differences? Because he was, like, helping come up with a story and everything, too.
If you think about it, he would be wearing, like, a 80-pound bat suit, and then he'd have to go behind the camera and, like, look at everything. Maybe
that's
logistically not accurate, or maybe Warner's is like, we're going to shoot it this summer no matter what quality the script's in, and Ben Affleck's like, well, then I don't want to be blamed for it, as a director surely would.
Yeah, that sounds like the more likely reason. They don't seem to learn. I don't know what their deal is.
I didn't see Suicide Squad, but by all accounts, it was terrible.
It's a mess. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, Batman v Superman, it wasn't great, but I mean, I thought it was okay. I mean, I didn't want like 2 hours of my life back, like when I saw The Village.
Yeah, I actually liked The Village too.
I didn't think Batman v Superman was very good. So,
yeah, see, I liked that one a lot. I mean, I can definitely recognize the faults it has, but I don't know. They don't bother me like they do some other people. But Suicide Squad, yeah, that's got some goddamn problems. It's like kind of the first half hour isn't too bad, where they set up all the characters, kind of introduce you to them. But then when it gets into the actual meat of what the movie is, it's just falls flat on its face. And
so we were having a conversation at work earlier this year, trying to figure out if we could fight each other, you know. And then we realized, what was it? If Karen had a kid, that kid would not be able to fight Felix because his mom's name is Karen.
Oh.
So we drew up this diagram trying to figure out who could fight each other.
Nice.
Superhero universe fighting rules.
Well, yeah. I mean, if your mother has the same name, you can't fight each other.
The one thing that was really interesting about that moment when that happened in the movie, I mean, they handled it clumsily, but the idea, I think, was sound. The thing that was funny, and a lot of people said this, is they're like, holy shit, I never realized that both their mom's name was Martha. Like, I'd never connected that before. I mean, ultimately, what that scene's really trying to convey, which I'm sure you guys know, is just that it's like Superman has a connection to humanity, and, you know, basically Bruce Wayne's realizing he's kind of becoming what he beheld and blah, 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 and all that. But the whole Martha moment, unfortunately, the way they did it, kind of took away from all of that. So... But it was interesting because I was sitting there like, holy shit, I never thought about that. But yeah, their moms are both named Martha.
And here's a fun fact. Amy Adams, who plays Superman's love interest, is only 9 years younger than Diane Lane, who plays his mother.
Yes.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
And
I guess redhead don't crack.
Well, and the other fun fact is Ben Affleck, who is, you know, Bruce Wayne in this movie, slept with Diane Lane in the movie Hollywoodland when he was playing George Reeve, who played Superman on TV back in the 1950s.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
So it's kind of wild. So
in the movie Chaplin, Diane Lane slept with Robert Downey Jr., who became Iron Man.
It's come full circle.
Hey, Jones, have you seen Streets of Fire with Diane Lane?
I have not, but I've heard it's pretty glorious because of her presence.
You should see it. Oh, wait, well, no, okay, I'm sorry. That was a you should see it as in you should watch Sin City 2 for Evergreen. You should just see it.
That was how I interpreted it based on how you said it. So, because you were like, you should see it.
Yeah, yeah. So I
wasn't like that movie's really fucking awesome. You should see it. It was like a, yeah. You should see that. Yeah,
it was like a nudge. It was like an under the skin. You should see it.
See, I thought Under the Skin was really good.
That movie was just nuts.
Oh yeah, no doubt about
that. It reminded me of like Drive if it had been filmed in a different language. And Drive had Christina Hendricks in it, so it's a shared universe again.
That is true. The score for Under the Skin's really awesome because it kind of gets under your skin. You're just kind of like, holy shit, this is kind of creepy and weird and I don't know what the hell's going on.
It kind of reminded me of Terminator for some reason. Well, so did Drive. So what about a Drive Nightcrawler shared universe?
That could work. Or did you see Nightcrawler?
I did. And just like Streets of Fire, it has Bill Paxton in it.
It does.
Oh, that's the only reason why you saw it.
Bill Paxton as an evil news reporter.
Yes. How can you go wrong?
Hey, you know what we should talk about next?
No, I don't.
The Nintendo Switch.
Oh boy.
Parker, did you pre-order one?
Yeah, well, okay, so we saw, yeah, so this is, because I think we talked about this on the Lost podcast, right?
Yeah.
Is the thing, they said they weren't going to have Zelda, right? And that's all I cared about, so I'm like, I'm not going to pre-order it. Well, that, they had that press conference, and then they closed it with the fact that Zelda was going to be a launch title, and I immediately went to Amazon and pre-ordered it.
Oh, yeah, because that's a good point. They didn't, yeah.
I think
people thought it was going to be like the summer, right?
Yeah. I think what Nintendo realized is if we don't launch with that game, it's not going to sell.
Because there's really not much else launching with it.
I think. Yeah. It's got that weird punching game for...
No, that's not a launch title.
That's ARM? ARM.
That's like May or something.
ARMS.
ARMS.
Yeah, ARMS. That's right.
Jones, it's a sequel. The sequel to Lips.
Yep. Your favorite video game commercial ever.
Yep. yeah. Remember, didn't I buy that game? Because I'm like, oh, look, it's this goddamn game. I should buy it.
I think you did because it was like, oh, we get like two microphones with it or something that we could use with Rock Band.
It was a great price.
So it had that alternate usage, which paid off.
We did a Nintendo night last week. It was pretty fun.
Oh, Lord.
Yep, we played all the systems, except for the Wii U, because it wouldn't work.
Oh, somebody actually had one?
Or you still have games for it?
Yeah, Max has one.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, and then I'd never played it before. I mean, I'd heard of it, but we played Boom Blocks, which was like a Steven Spielberg game on the Wii.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that thing.
Yeah, it was basically Jenga meets Angry Birds. So it was after Jenga, but before Angry Birds. So it was, yeah, it was kind of ahead of its time, I would say, in a way.
Hmm.
Much like the movie 1941.
Oh, God. It was terrible.
From the same screenwriter as Back to the Future.
Yeah, how that could it be directed by Spielberg and be written by like Bob Gale?
It's like, well, there's some similarities. Like,
awful.
Remember how there's the character who despises eggs? It's kind of like I hate manure. You know,
there's
some DNA in it,
but it's just so terrible. It's like,
well, they're like, hey, let's spend money, and that'll make it funny. I think that's what they thought.
Yeah, you see, Sony should have taken note of 1941. It's like that's what happens when you throw money at a comedy.
Are you speaking of Ghostbusters?
Yes.
2016. I didn't think it was that bad.
No, it's not that bad, but it's like, you know, all the stuff that they spent all the money on didn't add anything to the movie.
Well, Suicide Squad. I mean, what if Suicide Squad had been a $30 million movie about the Joker and Harley Quinn in the hospital and him, like, taking over her life?
That's the thing. That's what that movie, like, it shouldn't have even been Suicide Squad. Because that's the thing, when you watch that movie, at least for me, you're sitting there and you're like, holy shit. Like, you know, you see these little glimpses of the side stories of, like, Harley Quinn and Deadshot and stuff, and it's like, I want to see that movie. But it's like they just give you this brief glimpse at it. And it's like, yeah, it should have been the story of Harley Quinn and the Joker.
Well, they can just sell the origin story for those guys later.
Yeah, except they need to get rid of Jared Leto, because his Joker's fucking terrible.
Is Suicide Squad even worth watching? I mean, it looks like a fucking mess to me.
Yeah, it's not, like, entertaining in, like, a bad movie kind of way. It's just kind of there. And, yeah, it's definitely a mess. I mean, there's a few things. Like, some of the stuff in it works really well. But it's just it's just such a mess that it doesn't even really matter. But, like, Will Smith does his best, you know, to carry it. Like, he's good in it. All the Deadshot stuff's interesting. And there's, like, another character. He's not called Pyro, I don't think, but he, like, shoots
the
flames
flame
and shit. Yeah. Like, his stuff, they don't get into it a lot, but his whole kind of background and his kind of way of living, it his character was interesting to me too. You know, it's like basically those guys could have had their own movie, and I would have been fine with that.
I saw a clip of where Katana gets on the helicopter and the guy's explaining their backstory, and it was so goddamn stupid. The guy says with a straight face, "Best not get killed by her. Her sword traps the souls of its victims." And everyone's like, "Okay, whatever." Like, no one.
And they'd all just accept it. They're like, "Well." So at that point, you know, after, like, Superman's been flying around and fucking shit up, and, you know, there's, like, this enchantress chick running around, yeah, you're probably just going to be like, you know what, that sounds plausible, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like it could happen.
Is the enchantress enchanted like Amy Adams? See, I keep bringing it back.
No, she's not nearly that wonderful.
So Diane Lane is Superman's mom.
Yes.
And Amy Adams is enchanted, and there's also an enchantress. Yes. You know what? I'm not. Never mind. I'm done. I'm not going to do that. Dumb. So, Parker, Nintendo Switch. So, explain this to me. How do you put it in your pocket?
Explain yourself.
You have large pockets. Actually, I'm probably never going to take it out of its little cubby holder thingy.
Or like Jenko Jeans gonna make a comeback thanks to this thing, or what?
Nintendo branded.
Yeah, they'll come back now because you need like massive pockets to hold this thing.
Go to your hot topic and get your jeans.
Fuck yeah. Wait,
Jones, I'm gonna guess that you had a Game Gear.
No,
you didn't.
Nope. The only portable system I ever owned was the very first Game Boy, and I only had that for like maybe 6 months.
Do you remember the biggest difference between the Game Boy and the Lynx and the Game Gear?
I remember the Game Gear seemed pretty cool, and the Lynx and Game Gear both had color, right? And
but the
Game Boy did not.
Game Boy could fit in your pocket.
I remember when I was a kid, the Game Boy would not fit in my pocket.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can't remember ever thinking of putting that thing in my pocket. It wasn't that small.
No. The Game Boy Pocket, yeah. But not the full-on original.
So you're saying no one had the idea to put the Game Boy in their pocket until they had a Game Boy called the Pocket, and then people had a eureka moment?
No, people probably stuffed them in your pocket.
It was smaller.
That was back when you had cargo pants, too, so you could just shove them in there.
Right. Well, that's because MC Hammer was, like, the bomb.
Those are parachute pants, not cargo pants.
Same thing.
Oh, MC Hammer, where have you
gone? Like, that's like a decade before.
Okay, so... Wait, did we talk about the Switch in our last podcast? We probably did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Anyways, the coolest thing about the Switch, it has a USB Type-C connector on it.
Oh, that's right. You love the USB Type-C.
So it's got a leg up on Apple already.
Yeah, it actually has a USB Type-C.
It only has one of them, though. The Apple.
The iPad does?
Oh, I thought you meant the MacBook.
How can you compare, like, a fucking MacBook to a goddamn Switch or whatever?
Oh, okay, yes. The iPad still has the Lightning connector or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Whatever that
Apple's proprietary shit is, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the Lightning connector is one of the most idiotic connector designs ever.
I have to say, Parker, having a USB-C cell phone, it does save a little bit of time not having to orient the plug correctly.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it.
That might just buy me enough time for scientists to discover the cure for liver failure before I die. Except for the 2 hours I lost watching The Village.
Oh, no.
I can see Ben in his workshop building a bionic liver. Of all the time that he saved for not having to figure out which way his phone plugs in now.
Steve Jobs had a liver transplant.
That's true.
Yeah.
Didn't work out too well for him. I guess he got a few years out of it, but...
Yeah.
Well, it was also... That was after the disease progressed pretty far.
Yeah.
And now
Magic Johnson, money didn't save him.
Yeah, you couldn't be like Cave Johnson.
Magic Johnson figured out, you know, the cure for AIDS is money, so...
Just
so does that mean
and inject it right in.
Charlie Sheen will be cured of AIDS?
Yeah, I guess. He's still kicking around, isn't he?
Charlie Sheen probably has a shitload more money than Magic Johnson, actually.
Yeah, because he did get paid a shit ton for that whatever garbage show that he was on. Two and a half people or whatever. Yeah.
2.5 people. Yeah.
I never watched that show ever.
I saw one episode.
I'm sorry.
It's like a TV show from the 80s. It's like a TV show from the 80s, but like with the raunchy stuff of today.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is kind of what it looked like, yeah, from commercials and stuff.
It's like Charlie Sheen's girlfriend had these really big boobs, and she was thinking about getting a breast reduction. And the what's the guy's name? John Cryer character was like, "Oh well, I blah 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 blah." And then Charlie Sheen spent the whole episode agonizing about it. So yeah,
hey, Charlie Sheen has to deal with that sort of problem every day of his life. So.
Well, now he has to deal with AIDS every day of his life.
It's true. They can make a new show about that.
AIDS management.
What was his big thing? Remember when he got kicked off that show and then he went on tour and there was some saying associated with him?
Tiger blood winning.
Winning, that's what it was.
Winning.
He was like, God, winning.
I completely forgot about that meme.
I forgot about tiger blood.
Well, that... Then he,
when was he, that? What was that? 2007, 2008?
No, it was more recent than that.
Like 2010 ish, maybe.
And then he did that show. He did that anger management show for FX, where they filmed.
Well.
They filmed. They filmed 100 episodes in like a year and a half, basically.
Holy, because they thought he was gonna die or what?
Yeah. So they filmed 100 episodes as quickly as possible because you need 100 episodes to get to syndication.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was 2011 was the Tiger Blood. Yep. That's a lot newer than I thought.
I just had this idea for a TV show called Death Race, right? And it was going to be Charlie Sheen, Lindsay Lohan, and Amy Winehouse, and they were roommates. But yeah, one of them's dead.
Winehouse didn't make it, so
yeah. So we need. I guess we need another Amy Winehouse.
So yeah, like going back in time before she died. Like out of those three, who would you have thought would die first? I probably would have said Sheen.
Well, he's the oldest by a long shot.
Yeah, and I mean, he was living really fucking hard there for a while, and he looked it, too. Like, not that Lohan didn't either, I guess, but...
He looked like he was rode hard and put away wet?
Pretty much. Like, you'd see him, and it was like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah, like, if they made a movie about Lindsay Lohan, it would be like 30 going on 50.
Yeah.
With Jennifer Gardner, who is married to Batman.
Yes. Yeah, because Lohan went from being like this, you know, cute, like, chick in her early 20s to, yeah, just looking, like, fucking haggard, smacked around with a, I don't know, one of those things you...
Waffle maker.
Tender meat with, or whatever the hell. Meat tenderizer, yeah. You know. It was just holy shit, it looked like she put on, like, 25 years in, like, 2 years.
That's pretty bad. Here, let me see if I can find a picture of Lindsay Lohan that is, like, recent.
She did that shit, too, where she, like, dyed her hair and everything, and she just looked like shit with, like, blonde hair. It's, like, leave it red. Looks fine.
How old is Lindsay Lohan?
I don't know. She's got to be probably, what, early 30s now?
She is 31. She's born in 86.
Oh, 31. But, yeah, she probably looks about 45 right now.
There you go. Yeah. I'm going to try out this new feature of this thing. See if that works. Can y'all see that link?
New feature. I see a link. I don't know if I want to click that link, though. That link.
Oh, that's cool. There's like a chat window.
Yeah, so we're using this thing called Zencaster.
Oh, no.
Product placement.
Secret is out of the box.
Oh, yeah, Zen. You should try Zencaster.com.
Oh, yeah, then we can get, like, a free month or something.
Yeah, well, Chris Kraft mentioned this to us. We thought we'd give it a try because it's kind of tricky. Before, we did it on Skype, and it's difficult to record discrete tracks, but this will record three different tracks, and then we download them off of Dropbox, and then I'll edit them together.
And this is where we pause for our, you know, studio identification and advertisements.
Yes.
We don't have.
Well, Parker, anything you want to talk about in the last, like, 10 minutes or so? Well, we certainly have been able to keep the conversation going. That wasn't a problem.
No.
You know what, Jones? Topics are bullshit.
See? I knew I could bring you over to the dark side or wherever the hell it is that I live.
Don't you live in Fitchburg?
Oh, I got it.
That sounds right.
I got it. There was a whole hoopla a couple weeks ago about gray Jedis in Star Wars. Did you look at any of that, Jones?
Nope. Gray Jedis?
Yeah, like in between. No, like in between dark and light side.
So they walk between worlds.
So they're like day walkers, like Wesley Snipes?
Sure.
Or they're kind of like, what would they be, agnostic? I don't know.
I think it's kind of like how Luke can go between the dark and light side. You know, how he does in Return of the Jedi.
I didn't like Return of the Jedi because it had Ewoks in it. Meh, meh.
Well, that was Ewoks one of the worst awesome. Parts of that movie.
Poor shit. Ewoks are fine.
Why do the stormtroopers even wear armor? I mean, like, sticks and rocks can apparently kill them.
Yeah, sticks and rocks can kill them, but then, like, in Rogue One, they can be used as a shield for, like, kinds of blaster shots.
plot armor.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of things in Star Wars that are like that. It's like, oh, well, the plot needs this to happen.
The plot armor.
Especially in these newer ones.
So, Jones, do you think The Last Jedi or The Last Gray Jedi will... Do you think they'll just remake Empire Strikes Back?
My fear is that, yeah, it's essentially going to be, like, Empire Strikes Back times two, because it'll be like, oh, we'll get to see, you know, Luke training Rey, but then we're also going to get to see Snoke training fucking Kylo Ren or some shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'll be like Frozen, where it's like, we got to have two fucking princesses.
Yeah, well, it's from the same studio, so.
And then they'll be like, Poe Dameron and Finn.
Yeah, they'll be off, like, doing some buddy movie.
Being chased by someone. So they'll be, just like when Han Solo was, like,
see, Phasma will be chasing them or something.
Phasma should be dead.
They'll probably go to some city in the clouds.
Oh, God.
So not only... So that's the thing. I mean, Jones and I were texting about this earlier before you jumped on, Parker, but... Like, Captain Phasma, first of all, like, the story, I mean, she sucks. She didn't do anything. And then, even if she did survive that explosion...
Oh, wait, is this Chrome Stormtrooper?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Woman Stormtrooper.
Because they made a big deal about it, how it's like, oh, you know, she's like a female Stormtrooper, and it's like the actress from Game of Thrones. But then she didn't do anything.
No, she single-handedly killed everyone on that planet.
Yeah, she fucked everything up, so...
All she had to do was say, no, I'm not giving you the passcode, and then bam, movie ends.
Yeah, even if she survived, which she wouldn't, she would be court-martialed.
Yeah.
But you know she'll come back, though, which makes no effing sense.
Maybe like she'll be on the run.
Remember in
Rebels.
In Force Awakens, when that stormtrooper's like, traitor! And then he's got like that thing...
Yeah,
Jedi are extinct, but he's got an anti-Jedi weapon.
Yeah, it's like a vibro sword thing, yeah.
That should have been Phasma. Because she interacted. Remember how she was like reprimanding Finn earlier in the movie? Yep. She should have come back and, you know, had that moment. Just like in that deleted scene that was online a couple weeks ago where that that one alien gets his arms ripped off by Chewie.
Oh, in the cantina?
Yeah, yeah. It's like you set up the conflict, and then you have a resolution of the conflict. And all these movies, which are so intent on making universes and sequels, they don't have setup and payoff within one movie anymore. It's all stretched out, and it makes movies less satisfying.
Well, the one thing I forgot to mention last time about Rogue One that I think it did well and should get some credit for, even if it's maybe just responding to something fans have griped about over the years, but I thought it did a very good and clever job of explaining, like, why the flaw in the Death Star was there. That's always been a thing over the years with people. It's like, oh, they build this big, bad, you know, battle station, but then it's got, like, this, you know, stupid flaw in it. And yep. So they used that as, like, a key plot point in Rogue One, is it's like, well, here's why it has that fatal flaw. You know, like, there's a good explanation for it. So I thought that was clever on their part to do that.
Yeah, even just the fact that if you got the plans to the Death Star, how would you even find a flaw in something that ginormous that you can exploit?
Yeah, so it was really good the way they handled that.
In A New Hope, they're like, maybe we can find a flaw if, you know, we get these plans.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean a new hope?
A New Hope, The Last Jedi.
New hope.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know how they swear in a stack of Bibles they're not going to bring back Carrie Fisher?
Oh, they swear on a stack of Bibles?
Oh, yeah. Sure. They said no matter what, they're not going to, like, digitally recreate her for episode 9. They're going to digitally recreate her for episode 9.
They're just going to digitally kill her off in episode 8.
Well, that's the thing. No. It's like, because she was like, her character was supposed to be in episode 9. And I mean, if you look at the whole arc of how Kylo Ren's going to play out, more than likely, like, you would think him and his mother getting reunited at some point would be part of that. And so now that's all fucked, basically.
Because wasn't she in episode 8 a lot more than she was in episode 7?
Yes, from what I understand. And then she was definitely supposed to be in 9. And her stuff was done being filmed for 8 already.
So how are they going to kill her off in 8 then?
Maybe they don't even need to kill her off. Maybe. I mean, there's ways it can be solved, I'm sure, without even.
They just take a scene where she, like, gets on a ship and the ship's flying off and they just blow the ship up.
Well, she doesn't necessarily have to die. Like, I don't know.
That's true, because they didn't kill Paul Walker in Fast and the Furious. It's just like he goes away, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean.
So she gets in a ship and just flies into the sun? Like Battlestar Galactica style?
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff you could do. I mean, like when I was watching Rogue One, you know, and
she'd
they walked.
Be a force ghost.
Well, and like when it was in Rogue One, you know, they walked up behind Tarkin, and I was thinking, like, oh, they'll just have it where his back's to the person, but then he actually turned around. You know, I was, like, surprised when he turned around, but, I mean, he very easily could have just stood there and talked, looking forward, and never turned to the camera.
I feel like they put him in it too much. I think they kind of pushed their luck with that one.
I thought he looked great, though, so.
CG. Yeah, I thought it worked really well. I mean, to me, it's like if you didn't know who Peter Cushing is and whatever and all this stuff, like, you'd buy that. So,
yeah, that's true. It's hard to, maybe, like, if we showed it to, like, a 10-year-old and asked them.
Yeah, it's like, we know that he's been dead for, like, 30 years or whatever, you know? So yeah. When you see it, you're like, oh, holy shit, that kind of looks like Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing they got kind of wrong is his facial movements actually are too good. It's that uncanny valley, I guess.
Yeah, like the way his lips, his jaw around his lips move, that was the most distracting for me.
Yeah, I think it was because in animation, you tend to over-exaggerate things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what they did with that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that was the main problem, because the thing is, you either you don't animate enough and he looks like a doll, or you over-animate him and it kind of gets that creepiness.
Still pretty impressive, though, I thought.
Oh, yeah. The first time I saw him, I actually, in the movie, I thought that was a real person. And it was the second time, because I think it was just the lighting was different that went on his character model. And I was like, okay, that's CG.
Well, that was the thing. Like, at first when I saw him, I'm like, oh, did they, like, get Charles Dance to play him? And then they just kind of put, like, extra makeup on him? Because Charles Dance could kind of almost pass for him with, you know, the right makeup and stuff. And they did actually have some guy who I think was on Doctor Who at some point was actually the one who played him in the movie, and then they, you know, CG'd the face and stuff. But it's just like for Princess Leia, there was like some actress who, you know, stood in for her, and then they obviously put young Carrie Fisher's face on her. So
maybe in episode 9 it'd be like, your sister Leia died mysteriously.
She lost the will to live.
Well, okay, here, okay, so okay, I've got one more semi-topic. Since we've talked about Bryce Dallas Howard and Carrie Fisher in the same episode.
We did talk about Bryce Dallas Howard?
I think we did, didn't we? Because we talked about Spider-Man and The Village.
I don't remember her name ever coming up, but maybe I missed it.
Well, not now it
news.
Has. So,
he has a really nice glistening look in Jurassic World.
High heels in movies, because someone sent me an Atlantic article, I think it was Allison, regarding Felicity Jones, who was in Rogue One, how like in that Dan Brown Inferno movie, she's in heels the entire time.
Oh, she's in that, isn't she? I forgot that movie even existed.
My theory is they do it to make the actress as close as possible to the height. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Which is why, like, if you look at Avengers, if there's a scene, like a wide shot with Gwyneth Paltrow and Robert Downey Jr., she's, like, usually barefoot or in flats. Because I would guarantee she's taller than him in real life.
Well, it's just like with Tom Cruise, you go into his movies, the women probably never wear heels.
Think about the last Mission Impossible. Remember, they actually showed the lady taking off her heels during that escape scene.
Yes.
Remember?
Yep.
Yep, yep.
That was a good scene.
Oh, and then in Ghost Protocol, remember when he was climbing on the tower in Dubai?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the actress? Paula Patton?
Yes, yeah.
She was, for some reason, she was barefoot in that scene.
Yep.
Standing in the hotel room. Why? Well, I guess that's why. So, yeah.
And the woman who was in Spectre, she was like the assassin in that scene.
Spectre?
Yes, yeah, the blonde woman that was kind of the love interest in Spectre, she was the assassin that Paula Patton fought in that scene in Ghost Protocol.
Oh!
And, so
it's a connected universe.
Yeah, so there you've got a Bond Mission Impossible connection.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was always the funny thing, like when Nicole Kidman and Cruise were together, because you'd see pictures of them, you know, at festivals, and she always like towered over him.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring that up is because one of the things that pissed me off in Force Awakens is at the end of the movie,
Rey was wearing heels.
No, Leia hugged Rey instead of Chewie.
I think I've expressed my exasperation with this on here a few times.
Yeah.
It was a running theme for a while, and it still pisses me off. Because, yeah, it makes zero sense. She's never met this... As far as we know, Leia has never met Rey before in her life.
She has never met her before.
As far as we know, because we don't know what Rey's background is. So, as far as we know, you know, she's never met this girl, but yet... Chewbacca, who has like saved her ass, was her husband's best friend. All
exactly.
This shit.
She walks right past him.
It's just like I did see an interview at some point with Abrams, and apparently he caught a lot of flack for that, and he did admit that he regretted not handling
if you think about
that
it,
differently.
I think it's the same reason she didn't give him a medal in A New Hope, because. Peter Mayhew is probably like 3 feet taller than Carrie Fisher, and it would look stupid on camera.
No, because they hug earlier in Force Awakens.
Yep. when they first meet up?
When Chewbacca and Han first show up there. Yep, when they first show up and Han
sees...
I've only
seen it twice.
And Han sees Leia for the first time. Like, Han or Leia goes up and hugs Chewbacca at that point. It does happen.
Yeah, I still think Chewbacca should have died, gone down with the ship with Han Solo.
He should have ripped a stormtrooper's arms off.
Yeah,
is
and
what
then
should have done.
Yeah, and then like gets caught up in the explosion or something like that when the place is exploding.
No. That... Fuck that. What needed to happen was when Han dies, Chewbacca needs to go off for like 5 minutes, John Wick style, in that base and rip arms off people. Blow heads off of stormtroop, just like kill everything in that base, and it would have been awesome.
Rip the arms off a stormtrooper and then beat him to death with his own arms.
Yeah, that would be part of it, you know. But it's like, I mean, Chewie flips out a little bit, you know, he blasts Kylo and he shoots a couple of guys and stuff, but it's like way too short. It's like that needed to be like a John Wick in that club sequence where he just goes around and kills like 30 people.
And that was just because they killed his dog, let alone his best friend.
Well,
dogs are a man's
best
friend.
Yeah.
So what happened to John Wick 2? Did they kill his cat?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how they piss him off this time, because it's like, man.
It's like John Wick's in traffic and gets road rage.
Well, the thing that happened in that one, though, you know, is the dog was, like, his last connection to his dead wife. So,
yeah.
You know, it had some extra weight.
Until Theon Greyjoy killed it.
But, like, for me, like, I heard about John Wick, and I'm like, you know, whatever. But then I heard, like, the plot, and it's like, basically, he goes and kills everybody in the movie because they killed his dog. And I'm like, well, fuck, I need to see this movie now.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
And it's awesome. And then, The Equalizer with Denzel Washington, it's kind of like Denzel Wick, sort of.
The movie with the guns that shoot X's?
No. This one, it's kind of cool. It's like Denzel, like he works at a Home Depot, but of course he has this past where, you know, he used to be some sort of like super assassin guy or something.
Yeah.
But then he just goes around like setting all these situations right. You know, he equalizes things throughout the movie.
Oh, like the TV show.
Yeah, and so it's like, I think like in the whole movie, I mean, he kills a lot of sons of bitches, and I think only one of them actually gets shot. And I think it's the very first person he kills. Like everybody else that gets taken out in that movie, he's taken them out with like power tools and just like...
Well, sure, he works at Home Depot.
Yeah, it's... the end sequence of the movie, spoiler warning, takes place in the Home Depot. So,
really?
It's a cool movie. It's it's, if you like a good solid like revenge movie like John Wick, I would recommend it.
Oh, okay.
Far better than I expected it to be. So.
Huh.
And what is it? It's got hit girls in it.
You mean Chloe Moretz?
Yep. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a good time.
Cool.
I don't think Paxton. Oh, Bill Pullman is in it, not Paxton, but Pullman shows up, which is cool. Yeah. So,
did either of you see Independence Day Regurgence?
Oh god, no, I did not see movie.
There's another movie I forgot existed.
Good.
Have you seen it? Shitty movie candidate. Although it's probably one of those where it just kind of lays there and it's not really terrible. But...
It doesn't try to do anything.
Yeah.
Well, were you there? You were here when we watched Gods of Egypt, right, Jones? I can't.
Yeah. That was one where it was just. Yeah, it needed to be just a bit worse.
Yeah, because if it would have been a bit better, it could have been an awesome movie.
Yeah, because it had like that just crazy shit with like Jeffrey Rush, like on that floating ship whatever thing, where it's like there was some kind of like cool shit.
Ra, the sun god.
I mean, there was, like, some kind of, like, really, like, visually cool shit going on in that movie. But then there was just a lot of just, what the fuck is this type stuff going on, too.
Of course, because it was directed by Alex Proyas, who directed The Crow, another famous movie where they finished it with a dead actor.
Yeah, did he make...
I brought it back.
So he's made, like, what, one good movie? Dark City, right?
Crow's a good movie.
Yeah, I guess I've never seen that one. But then
iRobot.
iRobot's good. So okay.
What was that? What was that movie?
He didn't do Equilibrium, did he? That was somebody else.
I think he did the not the Day the Earth Stood Still. There was another movie he did with Keanu Reeves, like The Knowing or The Happening or.
Oh God! Yeah, that Knowing movie with Nicolas Cage with the plane crash sequence. That one.
Yes, that was him. Yep.
That movie is not very good, but that plane crash sequence is pretty cool.
And Dark City, of course, had Jennifer Connelly in it.
Did. That movie was really good, but I think I've only watched it once.
Jennifer Connelly, who was in Labyrinth, which was featured David Bowie, whose son Duncan Jones made Source Code.
And with... Moon.
Yeah, and Moon.
And Warcraft.
With Paula Patton, who was in Ghost Protocol. There, we brought it back!
That's Ben's version of, what, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah. It's 6 degrees of David, 6 degrees of Jennifer Connelly.
It's just 6 degrees of just connecting shit to other shit and seeing how long you can make it go.
Okay. Could we connect a beautiful mind?
God.
To what should we connect this to? Alien.
Okay. Let's see. So, Beautiful Mind.
Was Paul Bettany in A Beautiful Mind?
He was.
Oh, okay.
I think. Shit, I shouldn't say that so matter-of-factly. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Are you thinking of The Da Vinci Code? Because he was into the
Da Vinci Code. I might have misremembered there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, though, when him and... Maybe he was... Because him and Connelly met at some point, and I assume it was on a film set.
Well, it was probably when he was making Wimbledon.
Hmm. But she wasn't in Wimbledon.
Well, do we need...
I don't think we need Paul Bettany.
Yeah, because we also have Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, who's been in all kinds of things.
Okay, so we got to get to John Hurt, your dad, Rip. And...
And you've got...
Jones's dad looks remarkably like John Hurt.
Yeah, well, in Indiana Jones, right?
Not anymore. Yeah.
Well, you've got Tom Skerritt in Alien, who is in Top Gun, of course.
Okay, yeah, and that gets you to quite a few actors.
Well, that gets you to Tom Cruise, who is going to be in that new Mummy movie with Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, there you go.
Not out yet, but it's...
No, it still counts. Well, you did it.
So.
All right. Well, that has been... quite the podcast where we just rambled on for an hour and 15 minutes and we didn't even need a topic.
Overrated.
Yeah. All right. Well, let us know what you think of this amazing format and our special guest.
Our amazing format.
Parker Dillman.
And what you think of the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Because apparently it's the greatest, shittiest system ever made.
Can you connect A Beautiful Mind to Aliens?
Oh, now it's Aliens instead of Alien?
Wait. So how did you get out of Aliens? You used Tom Skerritt, right?
Yeah, for Alien, but now you said Aliens.
Okay, so that's
so now you've
like
got Paul Reiser, and you've got...
Well, could you just go from
Paxton.
Aliens to Alien?
No,
that's
cheating.
That's lame, yeah, you can't do that.
You should make it really difficult, like use like Jeanette Goldstein to get out of Aliens. Wait, so, well, okay, Jeanette Goldstein was in, she was in Titanic with the guy who was like the head of the horse people in The Two Towers, and that had Liv Tyler in it.
Oh,
Armageddon with Ben Affleck. Shit, I'm off track.
His name Bernard
Bernard Hill?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, that gets you to The Two Towers and Return of the King, which had fuck tons of people in them.
Yeah.
Are we trying to get to A Beautiful Mind from that?
Yeah, from Aliens to A Beautiful Mind. But you have to do it through Jeanette Goldstein. That's the rule.
Let's see, so we get into Titanic, which is probably the best way, which you have Paxton there.
Well, she was also in Terminator 2. She was John Connor's foster mother.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You've got Paxton. You've got Billy Zane, Kathy Bates,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Oh, what's her face? The woman, Kate Winslet.
Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, Kate, and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, him and Crow have been in something. Yeah, they were in Body of Lies together.
Oh, and they were also in The Quick and the Dead.
Yep. So yeah, there's two different ones. Yep.
Done. All right. Well, we'll leave you with that. We'll see you next time.
Adios.
Later, everyone.